Like to pick up this morning kind of where we left off last Sunday. Message on resist the devil. The enemy is fighting hard with everyone. I believe the enemy knows his time is short and he's going to do everything that he can to discourage. He has traps laid for each and every one of us. I'm thankful that God knows where we are this morning. He knows our strengths and our weaknesses, but we also recognize that the devil, Satan, he also knows our weaknesses and he knows our vulnerabilities. So we need to stand up and fight. We are soldiers of the cross, and I want to encourage us to fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Let's not get complacent. Let's not give in to the tide of the world this morning, but let's stand and fight for what is right, for truth, for righteousness. And to fight means we're going to resist. To resist means to push back. The world is pressing in on all of us this morning, so we need to resist and push back. And I just would ask us to examine ourselves. How much have we been pushing back? See, people that think, well, I just want to do it my own way. Normally when people say that, they're going with the tide of the world. That's the easy way. They're just going along with the influences and pressure of the world. That's not your own way this morning. The world is not what's going to make us the happiest. The thing that's going to bring the greatest joy and victory in our life is by resisting the devil and living like God has called us to live. But it's going to take a concerted effort to take a stand against the forces of the enemy. Scripture that we've been referencing is in James chapter 4, verse 7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist. Push back. If you haven't been pushing back, I dare say the enemy's getting an advantage. But if you're fighting this morning, that's a good thing. If you're not fighting anymore, it means you've given up. Because I can assure you the devil has not given up. And as long as we are in this life, we are going to have a fight. Now, when we die and we go to heaven, that's when we can stop fighting. That's called eternal rest for a reason. But as long as we are in this life, we have an enemy that is opposed to every good thing in our life, and that's the devil. So I'd like us to turn over to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Begin reading with verse 10. Very familiar passage of Scripture. He said, finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. If we're going to resist the enemy this morning, we need to be strong in the Lord. Now, when someone seems like they're getting weaker, you know one of the first things you want to do when someone's getting weak is you want to be sure they're getting good nutrition. Stephen brought over some broth that he'd boil and you cook those bones and all that. You get all the good nutrients out of it because you want something that will give strength. You want something that will enable your body to fight what is wrong. Do you know in the Lord this morning, if you feel like you've been getting weak spiritually and you're just worn out, it's time to number one, recognize I'm weak. And then to do what you need to do to start gaining strength in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And I am thankful this morning that it is not about being strong in our own self. The other day, Renee was in a very low place. She said, there's nothing else I can do. I don't know what to do. Do you know when we get to those places spiritually, it's all right, but we need to recognize that our strength comes from God. I may be weak. I may be feeling like I'm not quite spiritually. I'm not some spiritual He-Man or some spiritual Superman. I'll tell you, when you start thinking you're a spiritual Superman, you're setting yourself up for a big fall. But when you recognize that, Lord, I'm feeling my weakness here. I'm feeling my humanity. He said, be strong in the Lord. That our trust is, Lord, I need your help. And that's where we can begin to gain strength to be able to fight the devil, because it's not in our own strength. Think about Samson. He was a man that was strong, wasn't he? I don't know anybody that's been stronger. He had physical strength, but physical strength does not enable us to resist the devil. There have been many mighty men that have fallen to the snares of the enemy. How big their muscles were didn't cut it. It didn't matter how long we have been around truth. We are needy for the strength of the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Think about Jesus speaking to Peter over in Matthew 26 in 41. He said, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? It's weak. You know that we will be stronger spiritually the more cognizant we are of the reality that I am weak in the flesh. And Lord, I need your strength today. I need your help today, Lord, to enable me through your power to resist the enemy, that we can live a victorious Christian life. So my brethren, my sisters, be strong in the Lord. Don't rely on your fleshly wisdom. I knew a man that I've shared before. He prayed 3 hours a day. Does anybody here have him beat? 3 hours a day. Anybody? But yet, he was unwilling to humble himself. The devil had a trap. The devil had a snare. I remember telling him, I said, if you don't do this, this is what you need to do. And if you don't do it, this isn't going to work. He didn't take counsel. And he lost out spiritually. He prayed 3 hours a day. But he was trusting in his own spiritual strength. And he fell. We don't want to, this series here is not, we're not wanting to give the enemy too much credit. But we don't want to be ignorant of how he works. The devil has a trap laid for each and every one of us. He has a trap. For you, it has your name on it. Because he knows our vulnerabilities. And if you do not have vulnerabilities, you ought to be up here instead of me. The enemy knows our vulnerabilities, but we have power through Christ to resist the devil, and he has to flee from us. But we must be strong in the Lord. We need to take nourishment. We need to have an appetite. If you are losing your appetite for spiritual things, we need to start saying, Lord, give me an appetite. Because those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. But when we start losing our appetite for spiritual things, don't have a lot of desire to read. Don't have a lot of desire to pray. Don't have a lot of desire to be in services. Don't have a lot of desire to really spend time in communion with the Lord. The red lights ought to be flashing, because it's getting us into a weakened condition that when we recognize we're there. And folks, all of us have been there. And we'll be there again. It's like, you know what? My appetite's not like it ought to be. So Lord, help me then, whether I feel like it or not, help me to eat. I took some things in, just if you'll allow the illustration, is Renee, and she didn't sound good and she didn't want it, but I kind of started pushing just a little bit. Renee, you need to drink this anyway. Just guzzle it if you have to. Hold your nose and just pour it down. But you need to get this because you need the nourishment. Spiritually, it's not always about how we feel. Folks, there are too many spiritual pansies. I don't know if that word's even used anymore. Spirit, just people that are just weak and not willing to fight. It's not about our feelings this morning. It's about our decision to follow the Lord. So if we're feeling weak and we're not really, I don't feel like eating spiritually. Well, I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do it anyway. and help, Lord, help this to work in my life because it's kind of the last thing I want to do. I remember there have been times maybe the last thing you want to do is get around God's people. I just don't feel like it. Do you know the devil knows why those feelings? We've been there. But we can't afford to give in to them because there's a price to pay. You isolate someone from the herd and they're more vulnerable. We need one another as we see the day approaching. When we don't feel like it, folks, let's remember this. This isn't about feelings. This is a walk by faith, not by sight. It's not about feelings. So Lord, help us to get the nourishment. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the, what? The whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In other words, if you want to be able to resist the devil, and if you want to be able to stand, not fall, you want to be able to stand strong against the wiles, the craftiness, the deceitfulness of the enemy, he said, put on the whole armor of God. Now, the Roman soldier was given by the government all the equipment that they needed. They were given their armor. They were given their swords, my understanding. They were given what they needed, but it's not enough for the soldier to have the armor in a pile on the ground. It's still useless until you put it on. This morning, we can have a lot of head knowledge of truth. We can have a head knowledge of salvation. We can have a head knowledge of holiness. We can have a head knowledge of all the things. This isn't anything new this morning. Because you know it, you say, well, just sit down. We know that. Yes. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We ate yesterday, but we need to eat some more today, even if it's leftovers. So when we say, well, I've heard that before, sometimes the Lord will give me a message. I'm like, yeah, but Lord, I preached that thought about three years ago. Well, guess what? I ate broccoli within the last 3 years more than one time too, whether I liked it or not. And broccoli's all right. But there are things spiritually that we need to open up our hearts, and it's not enough to have the head knowledge. Put on the armor. If you want to resist the devil, put on the whole armor of God. Because if we put on just a part of it, say we put on the breastplate of righteousness, but we don't put on a helmet, or we don't take our shield with us, we're exposed, aren't we? So it's not enough to have a part of truth this morning. This is where the religious world has gone wrong, saints. One of the greatest deceptions, young people, listen and get it in your heart this morning. One of the greatest deceptions of nominal Christianity is that they have a lot of the truth. They have a lot of it. They teach out of the Word of God. I'm glad that the Word of God is preached anywhere, any place, to anyone this morning. But the devil is crafty. And the greatest deception is not the pagans down the road. Is it deception? Yes. It's wrong. It's evil. But the greatest deception where we are vulnerable this morning is those that are teaching 70% truth, 90% truth, 95% truth. But some of it they're leaving off. They're not putting on the whole armor of God. And that's the vulnerability. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Partial armor doesn't work. When you go out to battle, the purpose and desire is to look for the vulnerability, isn't it? You want to look for the chink in the armor, so to speak. You want to look for the breach in the wall. You want to look for a place that they might have guards around, but if there's one area there's no guard, if you were attacking, that's where you'd head for, isn't it? You may say, well, I'm really being good in all these areas of life. I'm really being strong and I've got the doctrine right and I'm living here and I've given this up for the Lord. But we want to have the whole armor of God because the enemy's going to look for the weak place. He's going to look for the weak place. And so then Paul was instructing them to take on the whole armor of God. And where there's a vulnerability this morning, shore it up. Recognize what it is. You know, that's the first thing to conquering something is recognizing it. You know what? This is a weakness right here. Does it despiritualize us to recognize a weakness? No. But acknowledge it and then do what you can in the Lord to make it strong. And then the Lord will show you another place. But we want to resist the enemy this morning. He went on to say then in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Our enemy is not flesh and blood. If someone has hurt you that's in the church, I want you to remember something. Saints are people too. Isn't that profound? It's kind of basic, isn't it, actually? So of course they're people. Folks, we're people mean well sometimes and they'll hurt you. And sometimes they don't mean well. And we have to leave them in God's hands. But when we're hurt, we are vulnerable. When we get hurt, we are vulnerable. And when we can recognize, you know what, there's a hurt here, let's take it to the Lord and shore it up, lest the enemy take advantage. So our real enemy is not one another. Our real enemy is not people. We wrestle not. That's not what we're striving with or contending with. But this is a spiritual battle. Folks, this morning, we are in a spiritual battle. And I think if our eyes were just opened to see the spiritual forces of wickedness that are around us, I don't think we'd be so cavalier about things sometimes. I think we're a little, it's so easy to just go on with life. We are in a spiritual battle between good and evil. And I know we don't dwell on it a lot, maybe not enough, but there are spirits of evil out in the world. There are spirits of evil. There are spirits of deception. See, that the devil's crafty. Because remember when he talked to Adam and Eve, he had some partial truths. Didn't the Lord tell you not to eat of that? It seems like the devil would just come and say, oh, you ought to eat of that. No, the devil was saying, he was bringing God into the equation. You're not supposed to do that, are you? Why would you even bring up what you're not supposed to do? Because the devil's crafty. And the devil will use the word of God. But we need to take the whole word of God to stand against the deception of the enemy. Principalities. It's talking about evil spirits. Chief rulers. Rulers of darkness. Authorities. Often in religion. The scripture talks about in different places, and this is not the message for an in-depth study into it, but it talks about the prince of the power of the air. There are spirits in our world. And I want to caution us, you know, someone can have the Holy Spirit working with their life and not be filled with the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of the Lord is convicting, He's dealing, He's moving. That doesn't mean someone is full of the Holy Spirit, right? By the same token, there are spirits of evil that are working with us. It doesn't mean someone is possessed. Some people are possessed with the devil. But there are also people, many people in our world, that the spirits of wickedness, the spirits of evil, are working and influencing. I believe there is a spirit of the flesh. There is a spirit of adultery. There is a spirit in pornography. There is a spirit of drunkenness. There is a spirit of all of lying. There's a spirit of lying. Just because someone tells a lie doesn't mean they're possessed. But do you realize there is a spirit of lying that can actually start possessing someone? So just because someone does something wrong doesn't mean they're possessed, they're under the influence of it. But there is a place of possession that people that start dabbling and placing themselves under the influence of a spirit that's wrong, the longer they do that, the more doors are opened up that they can actually become possessed with that spirit. The prince of the power of the air. Folks, we need to reckon there's a spirit of greed. I believe that. There's a spirit of lust. There's a spirit, and just because someone is lustful, again, it doesn't mean they're possessed, but the longer they give into it, they are opening the door that they can actually have a spirit that needs to be driven out by the power of God to get freedom. And I know there's much more that can be said about that, but there are gods of this world. The scripture talks about the gods of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not. Do you realize, again, it's a spiritual battle we're in? So when we make decisions in life about what we do and where we go and how we act and all of these things, let's resist the devil. Let's recognize where the enemy is working and how he is working. I'd like to read this passage over in Mark on that thought, or the book of Matthew, rather. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and we're not going to, again, dwell in it. There's a lot more in this scripture than we're going to bring out right now. But Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "Verily I say unto you, Matthew. I said it right, I turned to the wrong passage. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he said, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." Warning here. And there's a lot more in-depth thought in this passage. When God has delivered you from something, you be careful to get your life filled with the power and Spirit of God. Because if you don't, and you don't fill your house with the things of righteousness, that evil spirit that has departed is going to come back and bring seven more evil spirits with him. And Jesus said the end is going to be worse than the beginning. The last state is going to be worse than what it was. We are in a spiritual battle this morning. And there are too many people that are taking it too lightly. I can do this, it doesn't matter. I can do that. Well, I think, what does our thoughts have to do with it? Well, I think, well, you have your thinks and I have my thinks. Right? It's not going to change the truth. It's not going to change the reality of this spiritual battle. So when we can begin to recognize the enemy is out to deceive me. If you don't get anything else out of the message this morning, when you leave here, I want you to take this home with you. The devil is out to deceive you and cause you to fall. Do you believe that? So then it is, how do we combat that? How do we resist that? How do we fight that? It's going to be by taking the whole armor of God that we can stand against the wiles, the craftiness, the deception, the lies of the devil. You're going to keep hearing it. The devil is a liar. Everything that glitters is not gold or diamonds. Everything that looks good is not good. Everything that looks good out in the world, it's a lie of the devil. He's a deceptive foe. And he's out to deceive us this morning. Take on the whole armor of God. We're not going to finish this morning. I'd like to take the first part and then we'll leave the rest for another time. Wherefore take unto you, verse 13, Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. What's it going to take for us to stand? Take the whole armor. Well, I've got this. You know, it makes us feel good sometimes. Has the Spirit of God ever been talking to you about something in your life and you kind of tried to start thinking about other things that you were doing right? To kind of quiet the voice of the Spirit, make yourself feel better? I have. Am I the only person? Yeah, but look at this and that, and I'm really strong here, and I've really given this up. No, that's not what we're talking about. It's kind of what no, we're not talking about that. We're talking about this. Yes, but Lord, I got it. And just kind of can start drowning out the Spirit of the Lord. Folks, if we're going to stand against the devil, we need to listen to the still small voice and recognize that God is not our enemy. Young people, God is not against you. He wants you to be successful this morning. But He's going to lead us in a path that will enable us to circumvent and to overcome the power of the enemy. And so He said this in the next verse. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Stand. How can we stand against deception? Having your loins girt about with truth. What is truth? It's the Word of God. So, when the devil comes along to deceive, we want to talk about practically resisting the devil. Ask yourself this. What is truth? What is truth? When the devil says it doesn't matter, ask yourself, what is truth? Is this right? Is this just what people are saying? Is this just what this religion says or that religion says or that church says, or I'll come a step closer to home? Is that just what we hear when we come to that Church of God chapel? Anything that we say here doesn't make it truth. It's only truth as it's from the Word of God. So if I start preaching anything other than truth, you all have a responsibility to say, Brother Michael, we want truth, brother. Because just because it comes across the pulpit doesn't make it right. You young people, do you get that? I don't care whether it's here at home or at Monarch or the church down the road. The devil is out to deceive the very elect, which means we all have responsibility to dig into the Word of God. And when the enemy comes along, or maybe you don't even know it's the enemy, and it's like, well, I'm going to make this change, or I'm going to do that, or I'm going to go here, or I'm going to... Is it truth? Is it something that will draw you closer to the Lord? Or is it something that starts putting a wedge between you and God? So how do we resist the devil this morning? By putting on the whole armor of God and having our loins girt about with truth. That's what's going to enable us to stand against the enemy. May God bless you all. The devil is not your friend this morning. And he's going to work however he can to cause us in these latter days to fall away from truth, that we would lose our soul. Lord, help us to stand and stand strong in the faith.